All right, Thursday. We're almost there. We're almost at fuck. Ah, Friday. I'm so close to swearing. Ah, what a week. What a week. We have a supposedly a new cabinet in the Dutch Parliament. It's kind of like I've heard people saying today that it's the same guy, just different clothing, which kind of explains everything at the moment. Still business as usual. It's still same old Mark Rutte. But I'm very impressed with Sigrid Kaas. See, I'm even getting her name correct because I'm inspired by her. I'm inspired by all the work that she's done. And her party D66 were the biggest gainers in the Dutch general election, which I'm thoroughly impressed by. Hopefully, in the next general election, if there isn't another snap general election, because Mark Rutte's party can't seem to keep their hands out the cookie jar, D66 could win, and Sigrid Kaas could be the next prime minister, which would just be terrific for the Netherlands. She's already been made a foreign secretary or foreign affairs minister. So, she's already on the right path to success, which is fantastic. I'm so happy. You know, yesterday was just one of those days where, you know, I wasn't here because I was just in a really irritable, pissed off mood. And, you know, I could have done the show, but I would have just ranted the whole show. And that's not why I created Amsterdam Lab. That's not why I created this platform. So I was very, very annoyed yesterday, not just by the elections, but just a lot of things just annoyed me yesterday. And I thought, you know what? I think the right thing to do is just not do the show today. Because, you know, although, you know, some podcasts, people do rant their frustration and their anger. Sometimes it is entertaining. And it probably would have been entertaining for you to hear me rant about how pissed off I was yesterday. But that wasn't the case. I didn't want that. So I was just very annoyed with the whole world yesterday. And I think what made it better was I got a phone call from my sister, which is always nice. You know, it's always nice when you get a phone call from a family relative or from a friend. And especially when you don't expect it. And yeah, it was nice. We chatted and, you know, cheered me up quite a bit. It was nice. Just a bit of information. A new show premieres today or later this evening on Amsterdam Lab of Give Me a Chance. And I'm on that show. The interview that me and Victoria did earlier on this year is finally up and running. The video will be live on YouTube, or it'll be uploaded on YouTube within the next few hours. So go do yourselves a favor. If you haven't already, you really need to, because it's a really good show. That's why we have it on this platform. Go and subscribe to Give Me a Chance. And you can go listen to my interview, as well as some other very cool interviews. I mean, I don't think mine's one of the best. I was listening to it earlier today. Yeah, it's okay. By my standards, it's okay. But there's some other really, really good interviews that you can go and listen to. Inspiring interviews. So go do yourselves a favor and subscribe to that show. It's on our website. It's also on various other platforms. So go do yourselves a favor and go listen to not just my interview, but all the other interviews. I think you'll find yourself hooked onto the series that she's got. Terrific person. And I'm really happy to have her on our platform. I was at Starbucks earlier this morning. Yeah, you know, I had a meeting that I had a conference call that I had to attend with some clients of ours, or potential clients of ours that we are talking with and working with to bring on board here at Amsterdam Lab. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I've got a couple hours to kill. I'll go to Starbucks. And I went to Starbucks, and this you know, really sweet, kind barista, you know, greeted me and said, "Hello, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get you, sir?" You know, so I ordered what I did, and I also ordered a New York cheesecake. And she didn't take the cheesecake from the window display because they still had like two slices left from the previous day. And she said to me, "Is that okay?" "That's fine." I'm not one of those people where, no, I want that one in the window. And I was like, "Yeah, sure, it's fine. It's a cheesecake." So I wasn't paying attention to what she was doing. And anyway, she brings the box to me. She brings the box to me that has other desserts in the box. So now the first thing I'm thinking of is, oh, she's obviously offering me the rest of the desserts. That wasn't the case. She brought me the box because whilst she was trying to remove the cheesecake, it broke in half. It's no big deal. So, you know, she says, you know, look, I just want to show you I was trying to get it in a broken half. You know, very apologetic, very, very sweet, this barista was. So I said, yeah, it's fine, no problem. I'm not one of those people. And yes, anyone who's been to a Starbucks or any cafe will know who I'm talking about. Those self-righteous, Jesus-loving bitches. Anyway, so she's trying to get this thing out of the box. And then it must have been her manager, or either that, or she just hasn't had sex for a very long time. It's probably both. And I can hear this woman shout, I guess it's her manager, and she says, no, grab it with the tongs. Don't do it like that. See, that's why it breaks. And I looked up, and I didn't say anything, but I looked at her, and I just thought, you know what? If you're so cunty about how she does it, why don't you go and get my fucking cheesecake? You know, I felt terrible for this poor barista, and I'm sure she felt terrible as well. You know, it really pisses me off. It really bugs me that, you know, when you do get these, and it's not often, by the way, it's not often you get service like this, but when you do get really sweet, kind, helpful hospitality staff, it's really refreshing. Because, as I say, you don't get it that often, and it's just a breath of fresh air. And anyway, so her, you know, after her, I guess it was her manager. It could only have been her manager because just the way she was acting. And then, you know, I think she wanted to make up for the fact that she destroyed my cheesecake. So she says to me, look, Can I offer you like some a chocolate or caramel spread on the cheesecake? So I was like, yeah, sure, you know, why not? You know, and I was that was really nice, you know, and I hate people like that. I hate managers like that. You know, first of all, it's a shit job that you're doing because you're earning minimum wage. And secondly, you're lucky. Even though, you know, even though it's Starbucks, you're lucky if you earn, or if you earn at least, you know, a good salary at the end of the month. And you're also lucky if you get 10 customers in the day, because Amsterdam is very quiet, and I mean very quiet. So you're lucky if you even serve 10 customers a day. So the fact that that bitch of her manager, it could only have been her manager, had the audacity to speak to her like that was just unacceptable. You know, I'm sure we can all relate to that. We've all had jobs like that. I'm sure we've all worked in the hospitality industry. I learned very quickly that I was not cut out for that industry. I was a terrible waiter. It's mainly because I couldn't give a shit about your day or how your weekend was or how your food is. So I was a terrible waiter. Terrible, terrible waiter. And you know, that whole thing of the customer's always right is a load of absolute bullshit. Because the customer's never right. Especially when you repeat the order very clearly and the customer says, yes, that's correct. And you bring them whatever they've ordered and they said, that's not, and they tell you, that's not what I ordered. No. I repeated that to you and you confirmed your order. Anyway, I was just really, you know, really just pissed off about that. That poor girl. You know, and I think, either her manager needs to have more sex. Maybe she should go on Tinder or maybe offer herself at the red light district, because it was very close to the red light district, the Starbucks I was at. And maybe it'll cheer her up a little bit. Just makes me so angry that. Anyway, enough about me blabbering about that. I see that the AstraZeneca vaccine has been approved, and now all of a sudden, all of these countries that supposedly were scared about it have started rolling out the vaccine again. It's like, come on, it's just ridiculous now. The vaccine passport is also coming out. I didn't know this, but apparently Israel already has this vaccine passport, and so does China. But China, you kind of expect, because you know they're prone to diseases and corona, so you'd expect something like that to come, you know, to exist in China. I didn't know something like that was created in Israel, or Israel also has a variant of this passport. It's very interesting. So we could be looking at potentially, if it gets approved by the European Parliament, it could be potentially the 1st of June when we supposedly it's an app that we need to download. There's still details are still a little bit. It's hush hush at the moment, but apparently you download the app and then you put your details in, and then for some reason it knows that you're in the database. So when you go to the airport, or if you go to the airport, whether you're leaving or whether you're departing or arriving, you show it to the immigration officer or to the ticket, the people where you show your ticket to, your boarding pass, and it'll obviously say yes, you've been vaccinated, or you've had a test and it's negative, or you've had corona and you've survived. But apparently this is gathering a lot of steam at the moment. It's gathering a lot of pace. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that was one of the things that made me angry yesterday was, you know, I don't understand how a country like the UK, and I never thought I'd say this, but a country like the UK has done such an incredible job vaccinating. I don't know what the current number is now, but vaccinating almost 80% of its population. I see the under 50s now, so people in their 40s, 30s, and all of that, they've got to wait now because apparently there's a shortage of doses, vaccine doses, which if I were in the UK, I wouldn't be too overly concerned about that because at least I still know I'm going to get a vaccine. And yet, for some reason, the EU and Europe has just absolutely made a complete and utter fuck up of this rollout. It is so embarrassing. And I said this on Twitter yesterday. I said this to a colleague of mine, you know, when I was ranting, when I was having my rampage of ranting yesterday. You know, I said to him, a country like Zimbabwe that is bankrupt, they've had to rely on handouts from the Chinese with the vaccine, have managed to vaccinate, I think it's 70% of the population. I could be wrong, it could be more. They've managed to do that. And the EU hasn't even managed to vaccinate half of its population. I don't want to listen to how many people live in the EU and all the courier problems. I don't want to hear it, because why is it that last year, when supposedly there was a shortage of PPE, that managed to get delivered to all of these countries? So why not the vaccine? It's not something overly to be proud of. It's not something, you know, you want to be proud of if you are a European and you are living in the EU, because, you know, the whole thing about the EU is teamwork. We're a team. It's like a marriage, you know. We do everything together. We're in this together. And I thought I was in the right place when, you know, when the news broke of the vaccine coming out. I thought, well, you know, I'm in the right place, because if anything, this is something the EU and Europe are really good at, is teamwork. You know, kind of like a parachuter in the military, you know, when they jump out of airplanes, it's like, go, 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 go. And you go to the next airplane, go, 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 go. Next airplane, go, go, go. You know, clockwork, teamwork. That is something I thought they were good at, but clearly that's not the case. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear any more excuses. You know, me and Natasha have argued a bit about our differences about the EU and how things operate, especially here in the Netherlands, and especially when it snowed. I was fuming when it snowed because they were not ready. And you can say whatever you want. You can say how much you love NS Rail. You can say whatever you want. You were not ready. And I don't want to hear that, oh, it's because it was so much more snow. It was a blizzard. I don't want to hear about it. The fact is that you were warned about the snow and you weren't ready for it. It's the same as the vaccines. You were warned in December already to get ready for the rollout of the vaccine. But what did you do? Nothing. You did absolutely nothing about it. So I'm very annoyed about this. And I guess we can only hope that that this vaccination passport, this green passport, does its job. You know, the thing is, I'm not even angry about getting my vaccine. I don't actually care about. It's just the simple fact that it's been so shambolic, this whole handling of the process. That's why I'm angry. And I'm angry because of all of these restrictions that are in place. I mean, there's a curfew here in the Netherlands that is, it's supposed to, I don't know what it's supposed to be doing. Apparently, from 9 o'clock at night, that's when the virus is really dangerous. That's when it's really, really scary, the virus. It's not doing anything because, well, the numbers are still rising. So you work that one out, hmm? So there's many things that I'm not happy about. That you can see these assholes in government just do not know what they're doing. And again, I don't want to hear about, but no one knows how to, no, you know, no one really knows what to do and how to, that is bullshit. Look at Sweden. Sweden is the perfect prime example of how to do things properly. And remember, they were criticized heavily last year because they didn't impose any sanctions on their citizens. They were criticized heavily. And look at all those Swedish people are probably laughing at us. And they probably are. So I don't want to hear about it. I'm fed up of how all these career politicians come into office, have a nice career, earn lots of money, and they have no clue what they're doing at all. Anyway, enough about me blabbering on and ranting. I said I wasn't going to rant tonight, but you know, I'm just, it's annoying when there's other countries that are far less developed as the EU, far less richer than the EU, yet they're doing a much better job at handling the vaccine rollout. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to rant. Wusa, wusa, Wade, wusa. Now, listen to this. This is hilarious because, you know, I guess, you know, I get it. They weren't expecting a pandemic to happen, but still, it's pretty funny nonetheless. The Netherlands, well, there's the biggest shopping mall in the Netherlands has opened. Well, some of it has opened. Now, it's open 3 years later than expected. And it cost 160 million more than planned, which, you know, these things always cost more than what they expect to cost. That's a given. Now, in total, the investors at Unibail, Roda Macau, Westfield, have pumped 630 million euros into the Mall of the Netherlands, near the A4 motorway. Now, the mall is supposed to present shoppers with a world of experience and a lifestyle destination. The URW's chief in the Netherlands has said. However, given the current lockdown, the centers, cafes, bars, and cinemas remain shut. And the 300 shops can only accept customers by appointment. Why even open to the customer? Why even bother opening to the public? I mean, I was in Amsterdam today, and Amsterdam is dialect. There's nothing there. It's a ghost town. So you've just finished building a shopping mall, and you're going to open to appointments. I don't know. If it was me, if I was the owner, or if I was the manager of the shopping mall, I would just stay closed until further notice. I mean, it's going to cost so much money anyway to keep the lights on in this shopping mall. You may as well just stay closed. Now, the retail trade has been hit hard, obviously, by the coronavirus and the subsequent boom in online shopping. Nevertheless, 92% of retail space in the center has been rented, albeit sometimes at a discount. RTL News reported. Retail experts also say that they expect the center to be a big draw despite the coronavirus, saying that shopping is becoming more of a day out. You just want to buy something or do it on, and also do it online. But shopping is a combination of buying things and eating out. Well, I don't know, because I don't know if it was me, I wouldn't be wasting my time with this kind of stuff. Why would you go all this way to go see a shopping center that you can't even experience it properly? You can't get a coffee. You can't buy things in the retail stores. What is the point of even going to the center? Hmm? And get this: a fake batch of Sputnik vaccine has been seized in Mexico, a Russian wealth fund has said. Now, authorities in Mexico have seized a batch of fake doses of Russia's Sputnik vaccine, the direct investment fund said, which is responsible for exports of the Corona-19 vaccine. Now, analysts of the photographs of the seized batches include the design of the containers and labels, which suggests that it is fake, that it is a fake substance, which has nothing to do with the original vaccine, the fund said in a statement. The first shipment of the Sputnik vaccine, a delivery of 200,000 doses, arrived in Mexico on the 23rd of February, and it was approved for emergency use by Mexican regulators earlier this month. Now, the fake batch of 5,775 doses was seized at a Campeche International Airport. It had also been en route by private plane to Honduras. Can you imagine getting this fake deck, this fake Russian vaccine, and all it is just water? These criminals are cashing in big time for this coronavirus vaccine. Remember there was that story of those Chinese in New York, those Chinese people that were living in New York. Apparently they were, I can't remember exactly what they were giving. They were giving a Corona catchers or something. So you had like dream catchers or something like that. Something so ridiculous. Oh, man. Honestly, if you really are bored and you want to cash in on this, this is a perfect place to to do it. This is the perfect time to do it as well. Now, misogyny is to be classed as a hate crime by police in the UK from this autumn. Ministers say that officers will be asked to record and identify violent crimes, those including stalking and sexual offences, believed by the victim to have been motivated by hostility based on their sex. Now, 8 in 10 women say that they have been harassed in public, according to a recent UN Women poll. But 90% did not report the crime because they did not believe it would be pursued. This is happening not just in the UK, but it happens everywhere. It happens in Germany. Obviously, in America, it happens. So it's really sad because, you know, and we keep going back to this and women having rights and having a voice. But, you know, after what happened last week with this poor Sarah Everard, I think if anything, this should have given women the voice to speak out about any kind of harassment, whether it's at their work, whether it's in the street, whether you meet someone online, you know, on dating apps, and they start harassing you, you need to voice this out. You need to be able to go to the police in confidence. And it's the police that the police are to blame for this as well. It's not, you know, I'm not saying females are to blame because they're not strong enough to voice their concern, but it's the police as well. Just because a female goes to the police station because they've either been attacked, harassed, or followed by a creep, you should take this very seriously. You know, why do you take a crime as in someone stealing your handbag or a sexual offense serious than those three? You should be taking all kinds of reported crimes seriously for females. It's ridiculous. Really? Why are we still having this conversation in 2021? It's just really, really frustrating. Females deserve as much of a voice as men do. In fact, with the way that men behave, I think men should actually get demoted, if I can use a better word. And that's why I was hoping that D66 would win, and Sikra Kask would become prime minister, because it would do nothing but empower females. It's just really frustrating that we have to have this chat in 2021. You would hope that this wasn't the case, but... Now, the creative chief of the Tokyo Olympic Games has resigned after calling a female comedian an Olympic. Oh, I see what they said. Not Olympic, an Olympig. Ha ha ha. Hiroshi Sakai had suggested that the entertainer Naomi Watanabe could appear at the opening ceremony wearing pig's ears. The Tokyo's Olympic president, Yoshiro Mori, was also forced to quit in February for making sexist remarks. He had suggested that women talk too much. Wow. I think I have a theory for this. I think all these people that are in charge of the Olympics and FIFA, and I'll even go as far as the rugby, you know, rugby union. I think all these people that are in charge are all these really old men that are so stuck in their ways, they wouldn't change even if you offered them money to change. It is ridiculous, and rightly so, this person has resigned. Rightly so that Hiroshi Sakai resigned, because really, you can't be calling females names like that. I get it was a bit of tongue in cheek. It was probably in good nature, but you can't be going around calling females this name. You know, how would you like it if the head of the Olympics was a female and suggested that all men are cunts, and that all men at the Olympics for the opening ceremony should just wear nothing but a female's vagina on their head? How would you like that? All these men that are all old and stuck in their ways, they need to just stay far away from stuff like this, because it doesn't look good. It doesn't set a good example to the world at all. It's not good. I don't even know why I have to keep repeating myself about this kind of stuff, because really it's just, we shouldn't be having this conversation. Everyone should be treated fairly. Not, you know, females, people of different origin, we should all be treated the same. Doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what language you speak, we all should be treated the same, fairly and equally. You know, of course, there are some people that's, you know, like North Koreans, you know, I don't think they know what human rights are. So, and China, you know, I mean, of course, they gave us this virus. But it's just really not good. Not good at all. I want to end off with this because I think this is terrific news, and I hope other companies follow suit with this. And that is Uber has announced that it will give its 70,000 UK drivers a guaranteed minimum wage, holiday pay and pensions. The ride-hailing app's announcement comes 1 month after it lost a legal battle in the UK, which began back in 2016, over the driver's status. The development is expected to have significant consequences for the gig's economy. I think that's terrific because, firstly, Uber drivers don't earn a lot of money. It's the same as Uber Eats delivery riders. They don't earn a good salary. I think this is terrific. And many other ride-hailing apps should be following suit. And many other startup companies that have a similar model to that of Uber should be following suit. I think that's terrific news. Again, we all have rights. Doesn't matter who we are, what we look like, what job we do, we all have rights. It's a basic fundamental human right. And people can't take advantage of us. They used to and they could before, but now, in a world where social media rules and people's voices are more bigger than the companies, I think that is terrific. All right, everybody, that wraps up the show for today. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Friday tomorrow, the weekend. Lots to come up on Amsterdam Lab. We got some very exciting things. As I said, the new episode of Give Me a Chance premieres later today on Amsterdam Lab. Make sure you go onto the website, amsterdamlab.online, to go check it out. Victoria is going to be talking to me. The video, because she also uploads a video when she records everyone. You can go watch me in all my glory on YouTube. Victoria will let you know if you follow her, follow the show. Give me a chance, _ the show on Instagram. And you'll go find some more about when the YouTube video will be uploaded. But lots to come on Amsterdam Lab, so stick around. And we'll chat to you tomorrow.